At the beginning of this year, if you remember, that's 6 months ago, we presented a theme for 2024. And if you remember, I told you I searched the scriptures to see if I could find something that would relate to 2024 that we could use as a theme for this year. And so in my search of the scriptures, I found one verse that I thought would be appropriate for this year. And that verse was Acts 20:24. See how that works? So Acts 20:24 says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And I thought that's a pretty good theme and focus for us this year in 2024. And I thank the Lord for leading me to that verse. And so from that verse, we took the theme for this year as to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's included on the front cover of your bulletin up there in the right top right-hand corner, just as a reminder. From that verse, we discovered four thoughts that we presented to you way back at the beginning of the year. we took several weeks to fill out these four thoughts. The four thoughts were, number one, that Paul is unmoved by external things. He's unmoved. Neither do these things move me. People were telling him that if he goes to Jerusalem, you're going to die. There's going to be trouble. But he said, I don't care. It doesn't move me. Unmoved by external things. Secondly, we noted unpersuaded by personal value. He said, I don't even count my life dear unto myself. He's got something bigger and greater that he wants to be involved in and to accomplish than just anything related to self. The Apostle Paul was unselfish to the extreme, it seems to me, as we read him and listen to the letters that he penned as well. Third thing that we noticed was he was purposed to finish. Purposed to finish. So none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish. And he talks about two things. Finish my course with joy, and to finish the ministry that the Lord Jesus had given to him. Purposed to finish. And nothing would dissuade him from that purpose. He was myopic in that regard and very single-minded when it came to the purpose and to finish that purpose that God gave him. And then fourthly, we noticed a focused pursuit. What is it that Christ had called him to do? And that is to testify the gospel of the grace of God, a focused pursuit. And so we've taken that as the theme this year, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so this morning, I thought I would just like to remind us of our theme. We haven't spoken too much on it through the first 6 months, but just draw your attention to it again. At the beginning of the second half of 2024, I thought it'd be good to reconsider that about which we are to testify. That ought to be our ministry and our focus as Paul's, the gospel of the grace of God. Just a reminder from back in January, the word testify is the Greek word diamarturomai. Diamarturomai. This word means to witness, it means to attest to something, to solemnly affirm a particular thing that you are testifying about. And so we understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just a nice sentiment that we can pass around to others. No, Paul's ministry was to testify. It was a serious, solemn witness to the truth of the gospel such that the truth was affirmed. He could preach the gospel and say, this is true. And people needed to believe it for their spiritual and eternal well-being. I think sometimes, largely, generally, in our circles, we talk about, Christ dying for our sins and saving us, and we look to the cross and all of that. But sometimes we miss out or miss communicating that you got to believe in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, he died on the cross for all. He paid the price for sins. But if you don't believe in him, if your faith is not in him, that's not going to do you any good in eternity. And so we need to remind people about what the gospel is, and I'll remind you in just a moment. But we also need to keep in mind that people have to believe in the Lord Jesus in order to be saved. To testify of the gospel is not just in the words that we speak, but also backed up by our own lives in that truth as well. It would be quite hypocritical to preach the gospel never having believed it oneself. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, his witness was involved in the gospel. It was his whole life. Nothing would deter him from being that witness. We ask the question, how about us? Are we also committed to testify the gospel with our whole being and with our whole life? We should be. We should be. That ought to be the thing about us in our lives that should be most noticeable, is that we live out the gospel as we share it around with others. So Paul was committed to testifying to the gospel, and he refers to it as the gospel of the grace of God. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? He's committed to being a witness to the gospel of the grace of God. The Greek word for gospel is euangelion, which means good news, right? It's good news. But in order for us to understand, or the world to understand, good news, you have to remind them about the bad news. The good news of Christ coming to this earth, dying on the cross, being buried, rising again from the dead on the third day, is only good news because previously it was all bad news. Man was lost in sin, dead in trespasses and sins. And so the good news has come to counteract the bad news that has already been in the world. There would be no need for the gospel if mankind was perfect. But the world is not well. We know that just by looking around us, by reading the newspapers. The world is not well. Sin has sickened this world to such a large extent, and all men are condemned because of it. So there's need for the good news. And how are people going to hear the good news if we don't tell them what Jesus has done for them? So there's a need for the good news, for the gospel. The word gospel occurs 104 times in our Bibles, all of them obviously in the New Testament. And most of the occurrences of the word gospel are found in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians, with 13 times each. We find many variations of the word attached with the word gospel. You find in the New Testament the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of peace, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of his son, and here in Acts 20:24, the gospel of the grace of God. And I like that expression, the gospel of the grace of God. For truly the gospel is the grace of God extended to everyone in this world. The gospel of the grace of God, whereby he saves by grace through faith anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, the definitive passage of the gospel we find, do you remember where? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. So if you want to just turn there, and we'll read through those verses with emphasis on important words here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5 might also be a good memory verse situation here, just to memorize the verses of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5. I know we know 3 and 4 pretty well, but the whole section is so very important. So here's what Paul has written to the Corinthian church. He said, "Moreover, brethren," so he calls them brethren, they are part of the same family of God, they're believers, "I declare unto you," what? "The gospel. The gospel which I preached unto you," and then notice, "which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are," say it, "saved." All right, so the gospel that he preached, and he's going to tell us what that was in just a few verses, is the gospel that he preached to them, they received it, they stand on that truth, and they're saved by believing that truth. He said, "By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And unfortunately, there are many people who have said that they believe, but they really didn't. Either they said, "I believe," just to get rid of somebody who's knocking on their door, trying to witness to them, just to get rid of them. Or people really haven't understood exactly what the gospel of Christ is is intended to do in our very lives. So it's possible for people to believe in vain, that is empty, an empty reception of the gospel. None of us want to be a part of that group of people. We want to believe sincerely in the things that are given to us of the gospel, to stand upon it. And then verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then verse 5 says, "And he was seen." Talks about being seen by Peter, the 12, 500 brethren at once. So this wasn't a delusion, the resurrection. This was a true resurrection of the Lord. He was observed and seen by very many people after he rose from the dead. And I know we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but lately in these days, I'm always making sure that I say that he rose from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. I think the third day is an important part of the resurrection. So this is the gospel of the grace of God, seen in the person of the Lord Jesus and all he has accomplished for us. And what this passage tells us and shows to us is that all of this, our salvation, is covered by the grace of God. And so it's good news of the grace of God and what he has done in our lives. As we trust him, as we believe in him, as we receive that truth, he will indeed save us. There's no more important truth for mankind to hear than that of the grace of God. So, seeing what Paul had to say concerning the gospel of the grace of God, I thought that it would be good for us to take note of another passage that's related to the gospel message. And that's in Romans chapter 1. So if you wanted to turn there, we're just going to take a brief time to look at a few verses. The gospel is indeed the grace of God. It's the same thing as the gospel of Christ, that he talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. And why? Well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the grace of God bestowed upon this old world. You don't have to turn there, but listen to Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The grace of God is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read about the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. It's all the same thing, all pointing to the Lord Jesus. So Paul had something to say to the Romans about all of this in Romans chapter 1. Look particularly again at verses 14 to 17. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. And so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. A couple of things to notice here. Number one, Paul's attitude towards the gospel. Notice Paul's attitude towards the gospel. He writes in verse 14 that he is a debtor. And the debt that he senses and feels in himself is that the gospel needs to be preached. People need to know about what Christ has done for them and to believe in him. And so he feels it as a burden upon his life, a debt that he needs to pay or discharge, if you want. And his debt is towards everyone. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks, Gentiles, basically, and to the barbarians. How many are barbarians here this morning? Any barbarians? So the Greeks were the sophisticated intellectual society. The barbarians were everybody else. So it didn't matter if you were, you know, schooled in the highest universities or you didn't have any schooling at all. Didn't matter. And he still needed to hear the gospel of Christ, and he was a debtor to do that. He says, I'm debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Right? And again, he's covering all of the bases. A lot of people think that they're pretty wise today, even though the wisdom of man is foolishness to God, we read in the scriptures. Didn't matter. Paul was going to tell him the gospel. He was in debt in that respect and needed to discharge that debt to others. The word debtor means one held by some obligation, bound by some duty. What was the debt that Paul felt? It was his obligation and God-given task to preach the gospel to everyone. Greeks, barbarians, wise, unwise, everyone needed to hear that truth. And it was Paul's burden to bring the gospel to all to whom God sent him. And he wanted to get to Rome to discharge that debt there as well. So I am debtor, he says. And then he says he is ready. He's ready to preach the gospel. Ready is the Greek word prothumos, which means forward in spirit. He's looking ahead. This is the plans and purposes that he wants to move into. He is predisposed to do this. He's ready and willing to preach the gospel. And so from his example, we learn that we must also be ready. Always be ready. Always prepared to face the future. Ready to pass on the gospel message whenever the opportunities arrive to whomever God might bring across our pathway. Let's also be ready always as well. So he says, I'm debtor to everybody. I'm ready to preach the gospel. And then he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Back up one point. To preach the gospel is one word in the Greek text, euangelizo. It means to announce or declare good news, specifically the good news of Jesus Christ as what he has done for us, going back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. So Paul is ready and willing to preach the gospel, to declare the good news of Christ at Rome, and he did this wherever he went. And then thirdly, he says he's not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. That's a significant and important statement to make, to testify to that. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines ashamed as, number one, affected by shame, abashed or confused by guilt, or a conviction of some criminal action or indecorous conduct, as by the exposure of some gross errors or misconduct, which the person is conscious must be wrong, and which tends to impair his honor or reputation. And ashamed is always followed by the little word of. Ashamed of. In this case, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Webster also says concerning ashamed that it means to be confused by a consciousness of guilt or inferiority, by the mortification of pride, by failure or disappointment. And Paul says, I am none of those things. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No shame, no guilt, no confusion concerning the gospel. He doesn't hesitate when it comes to preaching that word. He finds no failure, no disappointment in the gospel, not one little bit. I'm not ashamed of it. He's not embarrassed by the gospel. He doesn't think it to be a juvenile message or some myth that somebody's made up. This is real, it's serious, it's truth, and you need to know it, and I'm ready to preach it to you at Rome, he says. And so this is Paul's attitude towards the gospel of Christ. He is indebted to tell it to others. He's ready to preach it, and that is a necessary task. We all might not all be preachers, but we can all tell someone else about the gospel of Christ, right? Just in informal conversation, we can pass on those truths basically at any time to anyone. He's ready to preach it, and he has no shame in the gospel. It's interesting that over the years, we've seen in church ministries how that the gospel has kind of changed in how it's presented and what's the part of it. No longer do pastors or the preaching in the pulpit talk about sin, because that would turn people away and make people feel bad, might offend them. And yet the gospel is based on the fact that we are all condemned by our sins. And the good news is that Jesus died for our sins. there's a lot that has changed in our world, and even in Christian circles, that is just not right or good by the scriptures or by the Lord Jesus. So that was Paul's attitude toward the gospel. I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed of it. Secondly, notice the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel in verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Well, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. The word power is dunamis. That's dynamite. That's the strength and the power that's external to do something, to make action. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And notice that he adds that in there, or keeps that in there, I should say. We hear the gospel, but you need to believe it, right? So those of us who are here this morning and are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ understand that. We heard the good news at some point in our life and time. My experience was as a preacher's kid, pastor's kid, I heard that all the time. Right? I lived in a pastor's home and knew the gospel, knew, as my dad preached, those things, what that truth was. But it wasn't until I had received the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart that I was actually saved by it. And so we need to keep in mind that the gospel is the truth. It's the power of God, but it needs to be believed by everybody, Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we filter this down to say the gospel is necessary for salvation. The good news of Christ's death for our sin, his burial and his resurrection on the third day, is absolutely necessary for belief, for trust, for faith in the Lord Jesus. If you don't ever know or hear the gospel, why would anyone want to be saved? Most of the world thinks that they're doing okay. But when you start talking to them about sin and condemnation, well, they either walk away or they attack you. people need to know, not only hear the gospel, but they need to believe it. It's necessary for salvation. Without the gospel, the lost have no sense of their sin and condemnation. The good news must be told to counteract the bad news of sin and condemnation. And we notice here in Romans 1, verse 16, the necessity of belief. There has to be a confession of sin and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Yes, Christ did die on the cross for our sins, but his death on the cross will not do any good to anyone until they believe in him, trust in him, and put their faith in him. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the gospel message. And so we urge people that when we share the gospel with them, that they need to believe it. They need to receive it. They need to call upon the name of the Lord. Remember John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we know that the gospel is for everyone, Jew and Gentile. God is no respecter of person. Christ's death on the cross was for all men everywhere. And then just lastly for this morning, we'll look at verse 17 next time. Nothing happens apart from the grace of God to bring the gospel into our lives, right? Nothing happens apart from the grace of God to bring the gospel into our lives. It is the power of God that saves us through the gospel message and our faith in Christ. That's basically the bottom line of what Paul is saying here. And so our theme for this year, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, is explained for us here by Paul very nicely in Romans chapter 1. He's a debtor, he's ready to preach the gospel, and he's not ashamed of it. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that was Paul's way that he conducted his ministry. Whenever he went into a new city, what did he do? Well, if there was a synagogue, a group of Jews, he would go there first. And he would explain the gospel. He would explain who Christ is as Messiah, his death for sin, his resurrection from the dead on the third day. And there were a lot of people who just laughed at him, but he wasn't ashamed of telling them. Many believed what he had to say, and that was the beginnings then of local churches in those particular towns, because there were no churches when he first went there. And so he always went to the Jew first. But there came a time when he said to the Jews in the synagogue, because they rejected anything to do with the Lord Jesus, and Paul proved it out of the scriptures. He said, I'm turning from you and I'm going to the Gentiles. And so he would still, whenever he went into a new city, he would go to the synagogue first, but his ministry kind of changed and turned to zeroing in on Gentiles. And that's how he carried on. So like Paul, our task is to testify to this gracious gospel message to others. We're not to try and convince men through arguments and all that kind of thing. We are simply to testify, to declare it, to tell it to others, and witness to it. And that's all that God asks us to do. It's up to him to prove in the hearts and minds by the Spirit of God, who brings conviction to the lost soul, that they need to trust and accept Christ as their Savior. We just need to testify and witness to it. And then as we clearly testify the gospel, the Spirit of God can take that message and plant it deeply and bring conviction into the heart and soul of the one who hears it. So again, this year, at second half of 2024, let us commit ourselves to testify to the gospel of the grace of God whenever, wherever, and to whomever we can. Let us be bold and courageous, and don't let anything deter us from living out the gospel so that others might see Christ in us. We testify not only with our words, but also our life and our living. And one of the times at the beginning of the year, I mentioned this quote. It said, live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. That's an excellent principle, and something I think we can embrace in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, just for your word. Thank you for the emphasis that we have here in our New Testament on the gospel of the grace of God, that people need to hear it and believe it in order to be saved. We thank you so much for everyone who has not only heard that gospel, but have received the Lord Jesus into their hearts. They believed in him to the saving of their soul. Help us to be good witnesses and emissaries for thyself here in this world in these last days, where so many people are just a lot are ignorant of your word and the truth of the gospel. Help us to be faithful to communicate that to them, and help us also to be sure that we include, along with the gospel message, the need to believe and in Christ and to receive him into hearts and life by faith. And I pray that you would help us to be good servants for thyself and witnesses for the Lord Jesus in these days, and that you would be pleased and glorified through even our acts of service today. Bless your word to our hearts, we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.